How many are glad to be here in the house of the Lord? And amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Why not? Amen. Praise God. He is good. Amen. I prayed about the meetings, prayed about the arrangement to the brothers that will be speaking, and I just really feel that this weekend is ordained of God. And I'm expecting a wonderful time. We'll be putting out, obviously, more seats as the weekend progresses. More people will be able to come, be able to get away from work. And I'm just in great anticipation. The prophet said, the more you put into a service, the more you'll be able to, the more you put into that service, the more you'll be able to get out of a service. And I also believe that there's something to be said of expectation. And I'm expecting great things this week. I'm expecting people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm expecting myself to get a refilling of the Holy Ghost. I'm expecting there to be a lot of praise and worship and shouting. I'm expecting to be a lot of amens in the camp to pull on the gift of God. I'm expecting God to melt all these congregations, all these people together as one. And there'll be such a harmony and such a oneness that all things are possible. How many believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen. I believe that as well. Hallelujah.
When pangs of death seize on my soul, unto the Lord I cry, till Jesus came and made me whole. I will not be.
Amen. Sing it now.
I will not be denied. No, I will not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me
so cold, our sight has become dim. Our ears are dull of hearing, we feel a void within. Come set your people free. So send a fresh anointing, for this is what we need. Lord, send a fresh anointing, give us a new. Come this very hour. And send a fresh anointing, revive us with your power. Is like the sun as it rises new each day. Your forgiveness is like the rain as it softens the broken clay. Anoint our lives with oil and wine. Let your spirit live with us. Search our hungry, bleeding hearts and cleanse us from sin. Lord, send a fresh anointing, give us a new desire. Our candle, it's burned so low, so rely. Come this very hour and send a fresh anointing, revive us with your power. And send a fresh anointing, please revive us with your power. Our hearts, Lord, come soften our hearts and from all indifference, please set us apart. Please to feel your compassion, to weep with your tears. Oh, come soften our hearts.
That song unto him, O Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. Amen. As Brother Eugene comes to bring the word of life to us. O Lord, you're beautiful. Think about it.
Good to be in church tonight again, feel God's presence here. Let's just bow our hearts before Him. Lord Jesus, it certainly is an honor to be called by You for service, Lord. To be sitting with Your people, Your chosen elect. We just want to ask, first of all, for Your divine favor, anoint Your servant to speak tonight as You would lead, Lord. And as I hear, let me speak, Father. I'm unworthy, we're unworthy, but we're counting on the blood this evening to cover our sins. We're only coming to You under the merit of Your shed blood this evening. And that's what makes us happy, Lord, and gives us confidence, Father. Not our ability or our studying or our works, but the fact that the blood is still working today. So I want to pray for the prayer request Brother Barry brought with Brother Anwar's son. And in my heart, I've got unspoken prayer requests also, as many of us do. And we know that Your prophet made an amazing statement. He said, when you pray for somebody, you don't just pray for somebody. You literally take him into the presence of God. So today, we're just thankful that there's people that took us into Your presence years ago. And now we take others into Your presence also. So we commit ourselves to You this evening with thanksgiving and grace. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Good to be here tonight again. Thank you, musicians. That'll be all. If you take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 60, turn to your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60 this evening. Just want to say it's always a privilege to come to family camp. It's been a milestone and a mark in our family's life and in our life. I certainly enjoy it and have always enjoyed it. Very, very much so. And I want to compliment Brother Jeff, Brother Lonnie, and not just them, but the church around them for putting this up and for the burden that they've had, not just here, but around the world. It certainly is a working church, and the effects are felt all around the world. I've often said that if I was in a spot everywhere I'd be looking for a church to go to, I'd certainly come here, because I've always enjoyed your pastor very, very much. Very approachable and very likable, and the level of word that gets preached here. And I've always enjoyed the spirit in this church and the atmosphere in this church. So just want to say God richly bless you, send you greetings from home. As I look over the audience, many, many good friends, good friends, and will be for a long time. And I certainly don't feel as though that I'm honored at all to speak for you tonight, but you trust the leading of the Lord, and that we'll just take and see what God has for us. Brother Jeff said it right. He said, I came expecting and I came wanting, and boy, so do I. Right about now, as a preacher, I can tell you I'm running on empty, and depending on the God to carry us through. But it's good that way, because as long as we depend on Him, then you can steer the horse. But as soon as you think you know it all, then the horse is no good, see? So you got to always be a little bit on empty and a little bit open. I'd like to take for a topic this evening, I called a message this evening, The Light of God. It could have been called something different. I was going to call it The Separation of Light and Darkness, but this certainly will do fine. And I'd like to speak about something that I think is kind of unique, and we will read from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light has come. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
If there's anything that jumps my soul, is the fact that God's light has shone in this generation and provided an opening for me to look to the other side and go to the other side. And it has been the greatest thing in my life that the light is come. So the Bible says, arise, shine, for thy light not has come. Thy light is come. So it's still coming. Not past tense. It's not Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. It's not Brother Brandon 40 years ago. The light is here today. And just as present as ever was. Arise, thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And I say, amen. Because that I take that personally. The glory of the Lord is risen upon Eugene Brown. And I take that for me. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Watch. Darkness the earth, but gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. Wonderful news. Though the world is in darkness and there's gross darkness on the people, I've got news for you. And that is the Lord shall arise upon Eugene Brown in the darkness, and his glory shall be seen. I'll take that. It'll be seen upon me. I'll take that. I'll accept that. I'll say, I'll take that. The glory of the Lord will be seen on Eugene Brown. I'll take that. There's nothing in me that pushes me away from that. I take full acceptance that God's glory is shining in me and in you. But of course, it's the devil's job to point you all the things you did wrong, but that doesn't stop the word of God. See? Verse 3 says, the Gentiles shall come unto thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, this is your word. It now will not return void. Thank you for your grace. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated this evening. Keep your Bibles open this evening. And I want you to turn back with me just a little bit to the chapter before, a scripture verse that's very dear to my heart. And that's verse 19, 59:19. And that scripture says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and from his glory and from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against it. So let me just put that in practical terms. When your gas prices are going to go up, God will put more money in your pockets. I remember years ago when gas went to 35 cents and they said, how are we going to make it? You know, how are you going to make it? The same way you did it back then is how you'll make it now. And I've learned something in life, and this is a little bit off my topic, but I've learned something in life, that we live every day by faith. Amen. If you've got $5 in your pocket, you'll need faith to get to 10. If you've got $100 in your pocket, you'll need the same faith to get to 110. So we realize that every day is by faith, and watch, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the promise is, if I use this demonstration, if you have a dam over here, and you have flood waters over here, and if the enemy comes in like a flood and ever raises the flood, then God is obligated to raise this up so that the dam will hold the flood. And as the evil gets worse, God will raise his word. Evil gets worse, God will raise his word. Evil gets worse, God will raise his word. Because we have a promise that God promised that he will raise up a standard against everything that comes your way. I want to read just a quote over here. We're facing two subjects here that we want to read, two scriptures rather, that contrast each other. Isaiah said, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has come upon you. The light is here. And then the very next verse, he says, gross darkness is upon this people. And when we see now, it's a mixture. You can look that up in Webster's. Mixture of light and darkness. And then my address, this is the message, Shalom. My address is to the church. Watch, there's light and then there's darkness, but then he takes control. But I want to say something to you. Shalom, peace. And those are wonderful words. Shalom, peace. Let's find out what this is all about. Now we're facing this year both darkness and light. The world is one of the most chaotic times that it's ever been in, of darkness it's ever stood in, and yet it's standing in again. It is standing in again, the most blessed light that's ever shone upon this earth. So we're living in a great day because we know that we're living in a mixed day. I was rollerblading the other day. You laugh. I do 2 miles every twice a week. But I was rollerblading the other day, and where we rollerblade, where we have our houses in town in the city, which no man is meant to live in the city. I was rollerblading down this path, and of course, the only way they can get a path is under high transmission wire lines. So they build beautiful rollerblading paths under high transmission wire lines. But as I'm rollerblading, there's a lot of people walking up and down this pathway. They're going for a walk. They're walking their dogs, and the dogs are walking the people, and some people are walking the dog. And the path is being used a lot. And I was thinking of the Lord and how good God has been to me in my life in such a dark, dismal day and an age, and how much, not just how dark the day is, but how much confidence God has in me to put me in this age. And I was sitting there and I was rollerblading and stopped for a while and meditating and going on a little further. And all kinds of people were passing by, and we have in our community a lot of people that are from India and from India and from all the Arab states and so forth. And you see a lot of nationalities. And when I was there, I was watching the people go by, and you see people with these turbans on, and you see people with red dots here, and you see people all clothed all the way down with dresses, and then you see people that don't have dresses and they're just as bad as the other ones. But you see every kind of a different nationality and different people, and I stopped and talked to a man. He can hardly speak English, and I started a conversation with him because I'm always interested to make friends. And you know, those people, they've come to Canada and they're just trying to make a living like you and I do. But you know that along with every person, there's a religious stronghold on the person. And when I got talking to the people, I realized after a conversation for a while, it is amazing to me how I'm not going to say this right, but let me just say it like this, and I might have to correct it later. But when people are that people that were once in light, now catch my process, people that were once in the light of the day, remember, Luther was at one time the light of the day. Wesley was at one time the light of the day. And there was great men had spiritual experiences. I was come from the Mennonites, and the Mennonites one time had a light of the day. But you know what has amazed me is how that when the light of the day for the people has gone, and they are now in the darkness cycle, that some of them tend to place God in a geographical presence. In other words, if you talk to a Mohammedan, a Mormon. You know, I talked to a Mormon a while ago, and they were bragging about Salt Lake City. What I'm trying to say is they've got a geographical location that to them represents the presence of God. And you know, I started thinking on how gray, how the light and the darkness is mixing. Because if you talk to a Catholic, they have a geographical location where they believe God dwells, and it's in Rome. And if you talk to, Mecca is represented to people as a geographical location where God dwells. And the Mormon religion, they have a geographical location that is their headquarters, and that they long every year to make a pilgrimage to the headquarters. And I was thinking, oh God, how dark this day is, because the light is shining right now to where you don't need a geographical location anymore to represent the presence of God, because you're looking at Him. Jesus Christ is in me, and I don't need a geographical location to make a migrant to every year to pay my homage to the geographical location, because I believe that God dwells there. What a death day that we're living in. But when the light is passed, I have found that people gravitate to the presence of God and refer to it subconsciously as a geographical location. You know what I say? I'm thankful God sends the light to bring me out of that darkness. Amen. You're on, son or sis, you're on. We'll take that girl home. I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. I'm always nervous about time. And I'd like to take I'm speaking tonight and tomorrow morning. I'd like to talk about the darkness, which is an absence of light. I'd like to talk a little bit about vision, both natural and spiritual. And Lord willing, if we can get into reflection, I'd like to talk a little bit about the death cycle also, in the reflection, but in Genesis chapter 1, I want you to notice here, and we'll read verse 2, that the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now watch verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now watch, God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, called the light day, watch this, and the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. But now I want you to read verse 14 with me. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. So God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And it was in the evening and the morning of the fourth day. Now I have a question for you, and you probably already know the answer. It was the first day that God said, let there be light. That's the light that divided the light from the darkness already in the first day. But in the fourth day, God created the sun and the moon to rule over the day and the night, which was already formed. I ask you a question. What light was that? It was not the sun. It was not the sun. I want you to notice that there definitely is a light before there was sunlight. All right? There was a light before that there was sunlight. And now you're going to like this, because I know this is where you're resting at, and this is where I'm resting at. The first light that ever was given on the earth was God's spoken word. The first light that ever struck the earth was God's spoken word. He said, let there be light. And there was light. That turned darkness into light to bring forth a creation, watch, of joy and of life upon the earth. So we know now that God's spoken word is light. Right? God's spoken word is light. And now I'm going to just bring it ahead just a little bit over here. I want you to just turn with me, if you would, to Revelation. Well, no, don't bother. We'll just save some time. Revelation 21:23, the Bible says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine upon it. For the glory of the Lord did lighten it. All right? The glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb is a light thereof. Now watch. There shall be no night there. Yeah, but wait a minute. There's no sun, but there's no night either. See? And they need no candle, neither light. And that word light there comes from this word phos of the sun. So the light of the sun is referred to as phos. For the Lord God giveth them light. And that word there is not phos, but photos. And they shall reign and they shall reign forever and ever. So what I want to make plain to you is this. In the beginning, there was a light before there was sunlight. In the end, there'll be a light after the sunlight is gone. So I say it's a good thing for us to look at. If that is the case, then let's have a look at this light and how it affects us through the ages down here. Now, we're going to go just a little bit more over here. I want you to realize that word... Now, let me just come back to one more thing here. A few years ago, it was firmly not believed by any people that there was any other light besides sunlight. The critics in the scientist world once laughed and said, didn't God make an awful mistake when He wrote the Bible and said, didn't God make an awful mistake? He said... And He created the firmament before He made the sun. Said the very idea, there's no such a thing as light outside of sunlight. And that He had made the firmament before the sun. And how the apostles said that your whole body is full of light. Well, science looked down. Oh, I kind of like this. Well, science then looked down with a spirit of weakness and consideration and dug into it. how else are you going to ever get anything from God except you humble yourself? I'm going to give you guys all a tip, and you already know this. If you want to get anywhere with God, the first way to do is start getting humble. You'll get nowhere with God arrogantly. Absolutely nowhere. If you want to get anywhere with God, you start with humility. And it proved that God was right. You see, there's plenty of light besides sunlight. For instance, X-rays has nothing to do with the sun. But your whole body, each cell, each little atom is a light. Each atom is a light. You're made up of lights. They find out that the Bible was right, that you're made up full of lights. And now we know that. And now I'd like to show you something here, that word photos means to give light, to shine, to enlighten, to illuminate, to bring light, to render evidence, to cause something to exist. Now watch the definition. It means to cause something to exist and thus come to light and become clear to all. Now watch. That word means to cause something to exist and thus come to the light and become clear to all. It means to enlighten spiritually with saving knowledge, to instruct, to inform, to teach, and it means to give understanding to. So now we realize that when you gain understanding in the scriptures of God, what's actually happening is you're gaining light in your soul. And I can tell you that that is true. And you know, sometimes in counseling people and you deal with some situations and some dark situations, I have seen people come into the office because they've been heavy burdened with a certain situation. And you can tell, we would say, there's a dark cloud over them. They're gloomy. Their eyes are dim. And I literally don't think that we give enough credit to the fact that God is light. Because after opening the Word, and after speaking the Word, and after giving counsel, and they feel the love, they go out of the office brighter, the dark cloud less, and their eyes starting to shine. As a matter of fact, the Bible says your eyes are the light of your soul. So you can't stop to appreciate the affinity of what light is and what God's Word is. Because remember, God's spoken Word is light. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. So, just so that you get a picture in your mind of what I'm trying to say, and we're laying a platform, I just want to let you know that sunlight has a beginning, has an end. Amen. But God's light is without beginning and without end. But while we're here, the believer is privileged to have both sunlight and God's light. Amen. Now think of where you would be if all you knew was sunlight and didn't know God's light. Amen. You'd be scared. I hope the sun doesn't go out. Because then we're in trouble. I want you to notice that in the middle of the book, Jesus said, I am the light. And I also want you to notice that the scripture says, you are children of light. So, don't underestimate your ability to walk into a situation that's dark and gloomy. Remember, you're light. Your light has come to chase back the darkness. That's why God sent you here. So now we realize also that when God shone His light on that earth, that in the presence of light, darkness has to be pushed back. And I love the way the prophet describes it. He says, now when the light comes, the light literally pushes the darkness back. It pushes it back. That's why the light comes. It pushes it back.
And he also says, I want you to notice also that in the pushing of the darkness, that the light or the darkness that was once this thick now gets compressed. And it gets very, very, very thick where the light is pushing it. Have you ever heard the expression, it's always the darkest before the dawn? And that's because as the world rotates and the sunlight moves on this earth, the earth is the darkness is literally being pushed back, and the darkest period you'll have in the night is just before the sun comes up, is when it's the thickest, the darkest. Have you ever noticed? You ever struggling through something in your life? And it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. Remember, brothers, when it gets worse, remember the light is just around the corner. It's just around the corner. That thing you've been praying for is just around the corner. That thing you've been believing for is just around the corner. That thing that you're hoping that would come easy is just around the corner. Because as the darkness is being pushed back in your soul, it gets very, very dark just before the light breaks open. There is not just sunlight in this physical world. Now, this doesn't do it justice, actually. You haven't got a pointer here, do you? Okay. This doesn't do it justice, actually. But I want you to notice on the screen that where the screen shows you that little bit of visible light, it's actually much, much less than that. Now, the whole spectrum, right from gamma rays all the way to radio waves, is actually a form of light. When you have a remote control and you take and use your remote control, there is a light that actually controls the unit you're switching to, but the only problem is you cannot see that. When you go to the hospital for an x-ray, the x-ray is a light, but your eyes cannot see that. When you take and use a microwave oven, you turn on the microwave. You know, your eyes cannot see the light that's in that microwave oven. So the spectrum of light that we can see is very, very small compared to what's out there. Very, very small compared to what's out there. So it's amazing. And you know, you look at the marvel of God and how God does things. How is it that a sun some 8 million or something or other miles away can shine on this earth? And if you've got a tender plant in your garden, if you cover it up with a black plastic, something 800 or something, some odd million miles away, you can stop the energy coming from something million miles away with that little bit of plastic, and it'll affect that plant that you're trying to grow. I say, Lord, I hope that thing never goes out. And how is it that you look at the sun straight up and it's yellow? But you look at the sun that's setting on a beautiful day and it's red. How come the sun isn't red over there? And what you learn to realize is that there's much more to physical light than what we can see. There's much more to it. But let me just say this to you also. Though it feels as though maybe God is not ever present and ever working in your life, don't ever underestimate the light of God. Because the light of God can shine in your life, but you might not feel the effect of it right away. But just because you're not feeling the presence of God, don't ever put it away that God's not shining in on your life. Because there's much more to God's light than what you can see, taste, or feel. There's a sight, there's a light of God as I'm speaking here tonight. And as you're having coffee with your brother at the coffee table, and as you're going out for dinner and speaking about God's word, don't be underestimated that the light of God isn't shining to that other person, because you're speaking the word of God, because the light has come. And we don't have to be in a geographical location to feel the presence of it. Praise the Lord. There's much more to light than we give it credit for. There's radio waves. They're a form of light. We don't see them. Microwave is a form of light. These days you hear the thought of infrared. We don't see any of those lights. But all those lights come from the sun. And then we can see a little bit of light. Just a little bit. And then the other side, we again cannot see the other side of the light. And you know, this is what man saw. Do you like it? But don't be fooled. That's what was there. Don't be fooled. That's what was there. I've often marveled at how the prophet was gifted in such an amazing way. The supernatural was so close to him. He's laying in bed one day and thinking of God, and a light shines into the room. And he stops and he looks and he says, "My goodness, some headlight, some car out there is shining right in front of the window. There's got to be headlights out there." Goes and looks and there's nothing. And out of the light steps an angel. Because that light, that light was not headlight or candlelight. It was a light. And I don't know, you know, what we need to get out of here, but I just wonder if light hasn't something to do with transportation. And I don't know that. But sometimes I wonder if light hasn't something to do with transportation. So we realize also that when you see a white light, when the sunlight shines white, that inside that white light is all the colors of the rainbow are already in that white light. And now we understand also that, I want to just real make this real plain, and I don't know if you can see it, but it's a little bit dark, but you know, if you take a white light and shine it through the right prism, and you actually bend the light a little bit and break it apart, you end up with rainbow colors coming from the outside. In other words, you can take a white light and shine it against a specially designed prism, and I'll just use that word, and when it reflects, it actually reflects the seven colors of the rainbow. They are already embedded in the white light. Now watch. The seven colors of the rainbow are embedded in the white light. That's there already. Except that when we see the combination of the colors, we see it as white. Now, when you, let me look at this stairway down here. If you take this stairway down here is brown. If you take these stairways down here, the piano, but if you shine a white light against that, it was dark, and you shine a white light against that, you would see a brown color. But the reason that you're seeing the brown is because in the white light, there's actually seven lights shining against it, but the pigment on that wood is absorbing the red, the blue, the green, the yellow. The pigment is absorbing all of those lights, but reflecting only one. You take, my shirt is green. You take my green shirt. You shine a white light against my shirt. And actually there's seven lights embedded in the white light that's shining against my shirt. But my shirt, the pigment in my shirt, is absorbing the red, absorbing the yellow. And the only thing that it's reflecting back is the green. So now, if you have something black, we call it black. But something black, what it does is you shine a white light against something black and it doesn't reflect. This is just too good to be true. It absorbs all of the rainbow colors and reflects nothing back. We're at night. We look up and we see the moon. The moon has no light of its own. All the moon can do is reflect the light, the sunlight that's on the other side of the earth that we cannot see. So in the absence of the sun, we have a moon. And the moon is true because everything that the sun shines on the moon, it reflects it all back. And we can enjoy the moonlight in the absence of the sun, which is a type of the bride of Jesus Christ. Though it's dark in this age, that this world is privileged to see a moonlight from the reflection of the bride, and it's 100% what the sun has been shining in the first place. This makes me feel good. Turn with me to Genesis, if you would. Chapter 9. So in the beginning, God shone His light, separated the darkness, and then He installed a sun to rule over the day that was already there in the beginning. So now, at the first 2,000-year interval, things that come around in the cycle, and in Genesis chapter 9, verse 9, the Bible says, verse 8, God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. Now, I'm going to skip a little bit for time, but read verse 12 with me. And God said that this is a token of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. I want you to notice this. I'll fill in a little gap for you over here. The rainbow is a cloud, the rainbow is a covenant that God made with Himself. He made it with Himself, with His earth. But watch, the rainbow covenant was made with Himself, but the covenant that He made with Noah was life. All right? The covenant between Him and Noah was life. The covenant between Him and Himself was the rainbow. And remember, He didn't make that covenant with the world cosmos. He made it with Himself, the earth, which is a reflection of what He is, not with these paved highways out here, these buildings out here, the politics, the elections. God never made this covenant with that. He made it with Himself, with the earth. And He says in verse 15, And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all the earth, and the bow shall be in the sky, and I will look upon it, I will look upon it, that I may remember, that I, He made it with Himself, I will look upon my covenant, that I may remember the covenant that I made with every living creature and flesh upon this earth. And God said to Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh that is upon the earth. So I want you to notice that that is the first time that you'll find a rainbow fraction of white light being dispersed and being displayed on the earth. It's a rainbow. But I want you to notice before that happened, in chapter 8, verse 20, Genesis 8, verse 20, the Bible says, And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and burnt offerings on the altar. You start to see something. That when God expresses Himself, and He's going to express Himself again, and the next time that He's going to express Himself, He's going to express Himself in Jesus Christ. And not only is He going to express Himself when Christ was here on this earth, because remember when God, the white light of God shone upon that prison, it resulted in seven church ages going out. But if He did it the first time, He has to do it the second time. This is almost too good to be true. And the second time, there is going to have to be a prism, a special built prism, for Him to shine against. And for us, it didn't just result in one rainbow of seven church ages, but it resulted in seven church ages plus seven seals. And that special prism was there. And remember, if God ever shines Himself in white light against His prism, the end result has to be a sevenfold manifestation of God. Because remember now, and this didn't come out quite right, but I'm going to just see if this will work out for you. Remember, in the beginning, in Eden, God was Himself, and God had the title deed, the Lamb's Book of Life. When the mistake was made in the Garden of Eden, remember, the book went back to the owner, to the original owner, but the book that went back to the original owner, we know, has to come back down one more time. Amen. so that the second Eve will not make the mistake the first Eve made. Because if it hadn't come down, you know what the difference is? Think how much confidence God has in you. God looks at you, He says, you know where Eve fell in the Garden of Eden? You're not going to fall. And I'm going to make sure you're not going to fall. Because I will have a complete, total, word-born bride. And she will be complete because she'll accept the full rainbow spectrum. As a matter of fact, she'll accept the double rainbow. Good, man? It's good, man. So just to try and simplify it, in the Garden of Eden, God's Shekinah glory was in fullness. God had perfect harmony with His family. And remember, in the beginning, and I say this because I know Brother Jeff sure repeats this all the time, and that's one of the things that I like him. God was a family before He was a church. You get strong families, you got a strong church. You give me a choice between families or church, I'll take families any day. But if I want to have a strong family, I'll end up with a church. But God was a family before He was a church. But remember, that Lamb's Book of Life, that title deed, it left and it actually went back to the original owner, and it ended up back over again for us over here. But if it did, there had to be a refraction, and there had to be, and Brother Benham calls it, watch God in the mystery of His colors. That's what Noah saw. I don't know, I get reading and listening to the prophet, I get so carried away sometimes. That's what Noah saw. That's what they saw all through the ages. That's what Jesus saw. That's what the first messenger saw. That's what they saw all through the seven church ages. But now, I want you to turn with me to Revelations 4. If you would. Revelation chapter 4. And I cannot see that clock. Revelation chapter 4. And just to save verse time, I'll go with verse 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heaven, and one sat upon the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardis stone. And if you'll just do a study on those stones, there's a mystery there. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, like an onto an emerald. Brother Bram takes that verse and he says, I want you to notice, when John, and then he stops and he says, do you believe that one man can represent the bride? And I said, in my truck, I said, yes, Lord, I believe it. I felt as though he was talking to me. He said, Eugene, do you believe that one man can represent the bride? And I said, yes, Lord, I believe one man can represent the bride. He says, I want you to notice God and the mysteries of the colors. When John saw the throne of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 4, which is a setting of the scene for later on, he said, I want you to notice, he says, he didn't see a half a rainbow. He see a full complex, a full circle rainbow all around the throne. And he didn't just see a half. And he said, I want you to notice in Noah's day, he only saw the half. And then Brother Ben says, the half has only yet been told. And then I got it! Because when John saw the throne, he didn't see the half that's yet been told. We're seeing a full spectrum of what Jesus Christ, a chosen people, that He's not telling you half. He's telling you all of it. Everything that you need to know. Everything you need to know about Him. And He's not just telling you the half. He's telling you full spectrum circle of what God is all the way. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. We've got everything we need to know. It's fully full spectrum revealed. What a blessed people we are. And all their life, they saw this. But when, I don't know, but when we seen Him in His Word, we saw that. Watch God in the mystery of His colors. Let me just go a little bit more here tonight. I'm going to be speaking tomorrow morning again, so I'm just kind of laying a platform tonight of where we're going to go tomorrow. So it's kind of a broad-based. And white light is a combination of all of the colors. We know that black is a result of complete absorption and absolutely no reflection. The colors we see is only a reflection of the colors that's not absorbed. I want you to notice that after Noah, God had a rainbow covenant. After Jesus, there's a rainbow covenant in his church ages. And Christ again now is revealing a full spectrum. Not just church ages, but church ages and Christ himself. The seals. Because we're living in a day and age that is a heavy mixture of blackness and light. Blackness and light. Blackness and light. Brother Ben said about Revelations 4. When John saw him there, you know, that's where you always need a little grace, right? The day of redeeming was over. It was all over. So he's seen him back in his original condition, that amber color. Not just half the world. The sun can only shine on half the world at a time as it goes around. But when John saw him, he was setting to look upon his jasper and sardis stone, mix of the colors, a mix of the two together, you got an amber. And an amber light around the throne. Oh my. We could just go on and on. Seven spirits, seven colors, seven church ages, seven messengers, seven lights. Everything's in seven. God's perfect in seven. God worked 6 days, the seventh he rested. The world will exist 6,000 years, and the 7,000 years is going to be a millennium again. But we can say, arise and shine. The light has come. Because we're living in a death cycle. America is not in a Christian nation anymore. America is now past her Christian nation anymore. And I want you to just catch with me just a little bit. The Bible said, back to Isaiah, arise and shine, for thy light has come. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the glory shall be of him, shall be seen upon thee. And so now we understand that there's an amazing thing to this. That gross darkness that's upon the church, and the things today to fail to see the light that's shining. See? There is such a heavy press. Now here's the part that I want to get to. We take the noted evangelists today, and they're constantly screaming for revival. Working right against it. You say, Brother Eugene, why are you stopping here? I'm stopping here for a reason. A part of the evidence of the gross darkness on the people is the very thing that they know is promised to them, they're working against the principles of it. Example. You have a father that wants a good family. Right? He wants a good family. You have a young man, he gets married. He wants to be a proper husband and a good family. There are certain principles it takes to produce that. But the darkness on that young man, he works against the principles of the very thing that he wants. And he wants to be a good husband, he wants to be a good father, but guess what? He's got a skidoo that's worth $6,700, and he doesn't want to sell a skidoo. Even though times are tough. You have. And you know, you can go on and on and on. Let me just say this to you. That this message became much deeper than a one-dimensional message to me. There was a time when Jesus Christ was one-dimensional to me. It was a book, ink on paper, and I tried my best to study the ink on paper, but that's as much as I knew. I never knew the depth of God, the height of God, the breadth of God, the character of God, the expression of God. All I knew was a one-dimensional gospel. That's all I knew. There was a time, but then when God, His light shone on me, that same God that was once dimensional, now I knew the height and the depth and the breadth and the width, and I knew a complete picture to the point where I could see it, taste it, feel it, smell it, and believe it. It was more than just a one-dimensional salvation. All right? Do you know why? Because the light of God shone on Eugene Brown. The same thing it is with the message of the hour. To some people, it's one-dimensional. You read it, you try like crazy to make it work for your life, but there's no height, there's no depth, there's no breath, there's no walking into it and experiencing the message. There's none of that because it's one-dimensional. But when it is one-dimensional like that, if you stay there too long, it'll become the death cycle. And you'll find yourself in a cycle of death. Because it's way more than that, friends. And if you'll stick with me, just with this quote, I'll tell it to you by heart. The bridegroom call comes through the revealing of the Son of Man. It would be a horrible thing to get all caught up with the revealing of the Son of Man and then miss the bridegroom's call. And just have a one-dimensional gospel, right? So now, one of the evidences of the gross, and I feel so sorry for the people. Have you ever been that way? You go into the shopping mall, you go and just visit in this world, the way it operates. You know, you sit down in a coffee shop, it doesn't take too long, they're talking politics, the price of gas, and you know, the next leader, and they're, you know what I mean? Like, it would be a sad thing to live in this world and not have no hope and no light that we can hang on to. You know, you open up the newspaper, it's darkness. There's many people that go outside in the sunlight, but they're dark. And you realize that there's a whole new dimension of God. There's way more than just a one-dimensional gospel. And one of the evidences that Brother Branham already noticed back then was the very thing that the preachers were crying for. Think of how bad that is. Think, friends, think. The very thing that the preachers needed and they knew it was scriptural and they're crying for, they themselves were working right against the principles that would bring it. I tell you what, that's darkness. That's darkness. The very thing you need to have a good, strong, healthy church. Healthy church. And then the preacher locked up in gross darkness and working against the principles that bring it. Gross darkness. Gross, gross, gross darkness. I'm going to take just a few more minutes to lay a bit of a... if I can get past this talk this night. Well, you know, when I get thinking like this, I get thinking, thank God for the light. My, thank God for the light. Amen. To find yourself in a spot, you want to have good Christian children serving the Lord and then working against the very thing that you want. That's a bad place to be. That's a sorry place to be. And you realize these people, they're not bad people. They want to serve God. They want to do the best they can. But you know what? The press of that gross darkness, they're working against the thing, the very thing that they want. And they're good people. So we realize that after every light cycle, there's a death cycle. There's a cycle of revival. And there's a cycle of death that's been through every age. And Brother Ben says it like this, the cycle of revival and death has never failed. All you have to do is recall the last move of God in the Spirit when men and women dressed like Christians. They dressed like Christians, they went to church, prayed all night, took to the streets, corners, and weren't ashamed of the manifestation of the Spirit. So we realize that even in this day and age, When God starts a light shining, He calls a man. God calls a man, and that man becomes the representation of the light that's shining in the dark place. And when God calls a man, He anoints a man. He gives a man a place in the Scriptures. The man recognizes his place in the Scriptures and anoints the man. And the spoken word of the man becomes the light of the age. Now, as long as Luther, let's take Luther as an example. As long as Luther, when God seen that there needed to be light in the age, He anointed one man. And then He took that one man, anointed him, and the light started shining brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And as the light of Luther was shining, the blackness and the evil got pushed back in his day. Well, when God took that one man and the light kept on shining, we know that there's a cycle started. That one God called man, God calls him. He has and starts a spoken word momentum. He starts a spoken word momentum. The word He speaks is light. And it starts a momentum. It causes war. It pushes the blackness back. And He establishes the word for that day. And then, of course, at the height of the revival, He takes, and I'll just use Luther as an example. Luther set up headquarters in Wittenberg, Germany. And when he set up headquarters in Wittenberg, Germany, it allowed him a place to work out of. He started printing presses to get the Word of God into the hands of the people so that they could become light. He started printing presses. He had Bible schools, Sunday schools, preacher schools, and he did everything that he could to establish the light of the day in Wittenberg, Germany. So what we're seeing is the light revival taking hold on the light part and God establishing that light. Then what happens is God takes His man, but what? A soul like this. God takes His man, but God doesn't take the light. The light is still there. Though the man is gone, the word has been spoken, friend. And the light is still there, though the man is gone. And now the people have an absolute privilege to walk in the light that they are in, though the light giver is gone. Amen. But when that happens, the death cycle starts in, because there is a certain amount of people that still only saw Luther as a one-dimensional gospel. And God takes His messenger, and that starts off the death cycle. The elect see it, but when the rest of the elect that are not elect don't accept the light, Ichabod is written over the whole works. Why? Because the glory of the Lord is seen in the people, not in the whole age. And the Ichabod gets written over the whole age, but the glory of the Lord is seen in the people in the death side of the cycle, because God's spoken word is the light of God. And God and Ichabod is written on that whole age. And now they that had a one-dimensional gospel, they become the persecutors of the next revival. When God shone the light in John Wesley, it was the Lutherans, the previous light people, that became the persecutors of the new light. And if you'll study history, you'll find that when Luther died, men went around Men went around and intimidated the bride of that day to make sure that they keep Wittenberg, Germany alive, because that was the geographical location of where God dwelt. And if you didn't pay allegiance to Wittenberg, Germany, you weren't in. You know what the evidence of? The death cycle's on the road. Not realizing when the messenger is gone, the light is still here. And the light is here to stay. Isn't it a good day today? God never takes His light away from the people. And the death cycle starts in. Darkness comes back. And Brother Branham says, if you look at the debauchery of humanity, all one streak of debauchery, but inside is little light here, little light there, little light there. And the lights are influenced from above, where there's angels in heaven. And the darkness is influenced from right beneath, where there's demons using the internet. for all good measures, to spread more darkness. But our darkness comes from the spoken word of God, the light of God. God bless you this evening. Just want to say that it's a platform for tomorrow, because tomorrow I want to not do, what would light good be good if you didn't have the right vision? Because light would be no good if you didn't have the right vision to be able to see the light. Because one thing we know for sure, God's spoken word is light that drives back the darkness. God bless you tonight. Let's all stand. I'd like to sing, "We'll Walk in the Light," if we can get that going. We'll walk in the light as He is in the light. Certainly good to be here. Felt the anointing of God today. The last 2 weeks I've been asking the Lord what to speak.
We'll walk in the light.
sing a song. There is no satisfaction outside salvation. If you don't know Him in the power of His resurrection, if you don't know Him in forgiveness of sins and a thorough repentance, if you don't know Him in the way of being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is no satisfaction outside salvation. This message was sent to keep a people in a dark hour. Let's be honest now. This is an extreme message. But it's an extreme message for an extreme age. They got extreme sports. They got extreme drinks. They got everything. They got virtual reality. Can't hardly tell the real from the false. But this message is an extreme message. You know that the Apostle Paul's message was an extreme message. He came to a bunch of law-abiding Jews and says, no, you're not saved by the law. You're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. That got his head to rolling. Is that right? And wherever Paul went, he started riots. Is that right? Because it was an extreme message. This message that we're feeding on is an extreme message. I believe that Jesus Christ isn't in an institution or in a building. I believe Jesus Christ lives in me. In fact, I believe that I'm Jesus Christ in bride form. I believe that as Eve fell and she fell by deception, this bride will not be deceived. That's an extreme message. I believe the greatest revelation you'll ever receive is the revelation of Jesus Christ living in you personally. Not in your brother, not in your sister, but living in you personally. There's no satisfaction outside salvation. There is no satisfaction outside salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. Brother Paul Moffat, I saw you right up front. Brother, good to see you from literally the other side of the world in New Zealand and Auckland. And I'm going to ask him to come and close for us in a word of prayer. But I'd just like us to sing that song together. Hallelujah. Every person from every walk of life, from every faith, from every nation can sing that one song. You bring Jesus Christ, Brother Branham said, not to a book of rules, not to a creed, but you bring the people in this last day to the revelation of Jesus Christ in you. Can you get your head around that? Jesus Christ could do the works that he did because he knew who he was. And you'll do the works that you're supposed to do because you know exactly who you are. I believe that just as my five children came out of my loins, I came out of the thoughts of God. That is not a dogma. That is not a creed. That doesn't puff me up. That's a revelation. Therefore, I did not come to earth to qualify. My children don't have to qualify to be my children. I came to earth to mature, to grow up into the stature of a perfect man. Don't you want his love? And don't you know it's difficult to manifest it? But God's love is sacrificial love. For God so loved the world that he... God, help us by looking heaven in the face. Help us, Lord, to live for others. Not to be self-centered, but to be other-centered. That's really what true evangelism is. True evangelism is not a church sending out missionaries. That's evangelism. That's a part of it. But it's you. True evangelism is you as an individual so burdened for souls and so on fire that you prepare your heart at home. And that when you're going to step out those doors, you plan on touching somebody's life. Because you know this word is real. It's more real than television. It's more real than videos. It's more real than novels. It's more real than all those things that will pass away. The greatest revelation you will ever receive is the revelation of Jesus Christ dwelling inside of you. That's how you don't become a denomination. How will this message become a denomination? We have to pass the same test Pentecost passed. The same test the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, Luther. We have to pass the same test. The only way this message will not fossilize and die, the only way it'll not fossilize and die is if the message, if the true message, the messenger himself, not William Branham, the messenger Christ lives on the inside of you. When he lives in you, you cannot denominate. Cannot denominate. The most important thing is to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That you don't want to just know the quotes. You don't want to just sing the songs of Zion. You want this word to become made flesh inside of your flesh. Then you'll have a burden for souls. And then it's not, you don't have to come to church to get pumped up. You are the revival. You bring the revival. You believe that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Just you and him now. It's just you and him. Hallelujah.
the truth. Can we just bow our heads together? Heavenly Father, we thank you for drawing us together this evening. Lord, not just to come and meet with one another, but to meet with you. Lord, that there is substance, there's a purpose. We're gathered around something, we're gathered around you, Lord. And Father, as we look back to the world there in the beginning in Genesis 1, and darkness, and blindness, and ignorance, and unbelief, and in sin. And Lord, we see the very first words you spoke, recorded there, let there be light. You had the answer to the earth's condition. You had the secret to the earth's change. And the answer was light. Hallelujah. The answer was revelation. The answer was wisdom. The answer was understanding. And you spoke because you knew when that light broke forth that there was power in that light to cause all that lay in the earth there to manifest and to bring forth in its season a beautiful Eden. Hallelujah. Lord, we look back in our own lives and we see once we were there in darkness, but you sent a wonderful message our way. You sent a wonderful word, and you said, and you didn't just suggest, but you commanded that light would break. And Father, as we've spent time in that light, attributes that we didn't even know were there, but you did, began to come forth and come to manifest. Oh God, we see the change of our state as a result of revelation. And Lord, we are not finished yet. We want more. We want all that you have for us, Father. And you want all that you know is within us to be seen, to come forth and be manifest. Oh God, we thank you for your word to us this evening. Father, we ask that it would be not just doctrine, but a living reality. That's our experience that we've heard ministered to us this evening. And Lord, we know it won't return void, but it will accomplish all that it was sent to produce. Thank you, Father. We just want to commit each heart and each life to you now as we go from this place. Grant our brother Eugene rest this evening and renewed strength for the morning. And be with us now as we depart in the name and the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Paul. Amen. We're going to dismiss you. Amen. Lord, I love you, as we just sing that same melody.
Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you, I love you. Lord, I love you.
There's some refreshments outside if you'd like to get some. If you want to stay and worship a while, that's perfectly fine.
Oh, yes. Lord, I love you.